Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
I'd run the devil off, and all of a sudden here Dad Hagin is, understand, I was able to tap into his anointing. The Holy Ghost just picked it up and began to help me, and hallelujah, we just run the devil off. Well, I'm here to tell you, you've got the authority over all the powers of darkness. The Bible says that about us. Now, we learned some more things about this in prison when I was inmate pastor. Told these stories before, but the Holy Ghost said, preach it, we're preaching it. But I was in prison, I pastored as an inmate pastor. And I remember, I think the only different thing that you do, Pastor, here that we didn't do is I think you got ushers and we had bouncers. And so there was a difference, you understand, because everybody didn't come to church at our inmate church with the right motive. They come to kill one another, stick one another in the back with them shanks, knives. I mean, it was a brutal place that we were at. And I pastored that group of guys. You understand, we started off with 11 men, and over a series of events, we had over 120 born-again, spirit-filled men that did not have jailhouse religion, but they had Jesus Christ in their heart. But it took God's power and God's anointing, recognized the authority. So I got to fasting and praying. And some others did there in the church. We had about 11 of them that was, you could say, including me, that was really, you know, seeking God. And so we just decided that we'd just pray and seek God. We didn't fast every meal or nothing, but we decided we're just going to pray and seek God because we need a revival in that prison. And I started praying and seeking God, praying and seeking God, praying and seeking God. And finally, April the 5th of 1984, I was standing out behind the prison. You never forget anything like this. And all of a sudden, I was overshadowed, for lack of a better description, by the Holy Ghost. I was almost what some call and use the terminology of slain in the spirit. In other words, I was overwhelmed by God's power. I was standing out behind the blind. I was in prison, I'm here to tell you. In prison. And the Holy Ghost come on me. And I fell up by this block wall, just drunk in the spirit. I mean, God just so overwhelming. I just started weeping and crying. And the Lord said to me, He said, I'm anointing you today to begin to enter into one phase of the ministry that I called you to. And there would be four phases to my ministry, and right now I'm entering into the latter part of my third. Yeah. He said, the first phase of your ministry that I've called you to. And I said, Lord, what are you going to do here? Lord, I don't know. Lord, why'd you call me? I don't qualify. You know, He said, I've chose the foolish things to confound the wise. I said, well, Lord, I qualify if that's all you got to be. Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm foolish. And Lord, you're going to have to help me. But He said, I'm anointing you today. We've been praying about this. I turned 30 years old that day. I don't know if I had any relation to it spiritually. I've heard Dad Hagin say something about that. But I don't know. You have to ask him. But anyway, that day, I walked into an anointing that I never had before. The gifts of the Holy Ghost began to operate in me from that day and just flow through me like water. Many times that I know things and see things and have sense, that's why I stayed alive. My friends would get stabbed to death. I say friends, they weren't born again Christians, that slept right beside me in this prison. And God would tell me to get up and get on my knees and pray. And then somebody that didn't like them while they was asleep, it was a sneaky way that used to do it. See, prisons now have changed tremendously, and thank God they have, but they used to be run by the inmates and convicts. They used to be. I mean, they did. I was there. I lived through three riots. I mean, three riots. I mean, God would supernaturally sustain me in these places. But I'd be in my bed. The Holy Ghost would wake me up and say, get up and pray. Say, Lord, I don't feel like it's 3 o'clock. Get up and pray. And I'd get up and pray. And all of a sudden, while I'm down there praying, I'd hear metal hitting metal. And it would be a knife. You know the sound. Have you ever been around it? It was a knife going all the way through somebody, going through this little thin mattress. And it had a metal bed underneath that held the mattress up. And they would hit that metal and stab them. And the Lord said, if you hadn't got up and prayed, He'd have mistaken you for Him. Because I've seen that happen too. So the Lord began early on in my ministry, or just my experience with the Lord, He used to begin to communicate because my life was in danger all the time in prison. And so out behind that prison praying, April the 5th, 1984, there was a guy that I'd been witnessing to for approximately 5 months. His name was Robert. And this guy was filled with hatred. He was involved in homosexuality, and we're not belittling or knocking anybody, but this guy was totally goofed up. And every time I tried to tell him about the Lord, he was in total opposition. He wouldn't listen to what I had to say, you know, and it's awful way he would talk to me and others, you know, and never laid a hand on me. But anyway, I couldn't get this guy delivered. I couldn't get him set free. I couldn't get him born again. But all of a sudden, as I'm standing out behind this prison, the heaviness of the anointing lifted off of me, and I was sitting down on this little old 1 gallon can, a vegetable can. That was our seats on the outside yard. And a 1 gallon vegetable can, like you'd buy at Sam's, they'd throw them out of the kitchen, and we'd get them, use them for seats to sit on. And I was sitting on one of those things, propped up on my back behind the on the prison wall, and all of a sudden Robert walked around this corner. This guy I've been dealing with for 5 months. This had never happened to me before, but it began that day. This is what the Lord said. He said, the reason you can't help that man is because that man's possessed with a homosexual spirit. He said he's also got a lying spirit and a spirit of hatred tagging around in his life. And he said, I want you to cast him out of him. What do you mean cast him out? I read about Brother Norval Hayes. I read about Brother Hagin. And I read about Brother Copeland. I said, but Lord, I ain't never cast no devil out of nobody, Lord. I don't know what to do. And so I got up and I went to him and I started walking the prison yard with him. And as I was walking the prison yard with him, and this is rare. I don't think of twice this ever happened to me. But actually, the discerning of spirits, we actually see into the realm of the spirit as the gift operated in me that day. And I saw in the realm of the spirits that were dominating, controlling him. In fact, I saw so clearly that I actually saw the enemy and the evil spirits, how they would use his vocal cords to say things. And I mean, you don't get into a lot of these things, you know, and I hadn't shared some of this stuff in years. But anyway, the Lord showed me, he said, he's got a devil. And he said, I want you to cast him out. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So I'm walking a prison yard with him and I'm trying to convince him, you know, everything's going to be all right because he's a ranting and a raving, you know. And I'm trying to tell him about the Lord. He said, I wish you'd just leave me alone. You know, I ain't going to get saved. He said, I'm going to kill myself. And he talked about murder and suicide all the time, you know. So finally, I got to thinking, well, the chaplain, he was a good spirit-filled man, loved God, believed in casting out devils, you know. And so I went up to the chaplain's office and left this guy, Robert, outside, went into the chaplain's office. And I said, chaplain, I said, I got a guy out here. And I said, the Lord told me he's demon-possessed. And I said, he wants me to cast the devil out of him. And I said to him, he said, well, what's his name? I said, it's Robert so-and-so. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, if that man's got one devil, he's got 40 devils. He said, you've been dealing with him for 5 months. He said, I've been dealing with him for 5 years, and he hates me. Hates everything to do with God. Spit on the warden. I mean, all kind of mess he was in all the time. And I said, well, chaplain, I said, the reason I come up here, I said, I want you to help me cast him out of him. He said, God didn't tell me to do it. He said, he told you. You know, everybody is always trying to put their chores off on somebody else. They are. I have people periodically, and I'm not belittling nobody, but I have people come up to me all the time that God's told them to do something. They try to get me to do it for them. Excuse me. Would you pray for so-and-so? Pray for them yourself. You understand? God's wanting you to pray for them. If you got the unction for it, do it. He's anointed you to do it. Everybody else wants everybody else to do their job. You got to have a job too. You understand? And so, and that don't mean that we don't encourage. That don't mean that we won't pray. That don't mean we always pray. Anytime anybody ever asks me to pray, I always pray. Anybody ever asks me, I always do. You understand? But you get more results if God's anointing you to do it in that area. So anyway, the chaplain says, where's this guy at? I said, he's out here. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll let you use my office because the warden and deputy warden's here today. And he said, I'll let you bring him in here and I'll let you minister to him and cast the devils out of him. I said, chaplain, I said, I don't know what I'm... I said, I'll tell you what then. I said, if you're not going to help me, I said, can I go down into the prison yard and can I get somebody to help me, you know, to cast the devils out of him? He said, well, bring him in here first and let's ask him if he wants it. He said, because if he don't want to be free, you can't make him get free. And you know that's the truth. You can't force your will on anybody else. You can pray their will a change, but you can't make them change if they don't want to change. In Freedom Development Center, we'll have application process. In fact, it's in the process of doing now. And rules and regulations that people's going to have to agree to before they can come in our program. Why? Because we don't want to turn anybody away, but we certainly are not going to accept anybody that's going to mess up the whole thing. You know, if you don't want to change, you're wasting our time and money and effort and everything. And so... anyway, I called him in. He said, son, he said, Randy tells me you got something in your life that's making you do things you don't want to do. He said, that's right. He said, I want to be, he said, you want to be free? He said, that's right, chaplain. He said, all right. He said, if you want to be free, I'm going to let Randy use the office here to minister to you. He never did tell him casting the devils out of him. I didn't either, by the way. You know, that might have been good right then. But anyway, he said, Randy's going to go there and get some folks to help him pray. And he said, well, Randy, I'll wait here till you get back. And I said, all right. So I took off and I started looking for my number one bouncer. Y'all would call him ushers, you know. And his name was Dixon, but I couldn't find Dixon anywhere. And I found Charlie. Charlie, I found him out there and I told Charlie. I said, Charlie, I said, the Lord told me to cast the devil out of Robert so-and-so. I said, would you help me do it? He said, yes. And he said, where are you going to do it at? I said, the chaplain's office. I said, meet me up there outside the door. I said, I'll be there in a minute. I said, I'm going to find Dixon. He said, glory to God, find him before you come. I said, all right, and I'll tell you why. And so why was he going to find Dixon? Because Dixon was one of these Christian weightlifters. I mean, he could bench press 350, 400 pounds. That's all he does. Worked out in the weight pile and prayed all the time. Prayed in the spirit and worked out. He was not only built up in the spirit, but he was built up in the natural. You understand? He had muscles. And there was just something about old Dixon. He was a rough old fella, you know, and he didn't mean any harm to anybody, but he was just trying to help build the kingdom of God all he could. And if he was witnessing to somebody and he didn't have their full, undivided attention, have you heard of the right hook, hand of fellowship? He had the right hook of fellowship, and he would flat knock him out, bang, down in the floor, dive on top of him, and try to get him to say the sinner's prayer. You understand?
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.